be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Bountiful God, you gather your people into your realm, and you promise us food from your tree of life. Nourish us with your word, that empowered by your Spirit, we may love one another and the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Acts. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia, pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 67 responsively. May the God be merciful to us. May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us.
Let your way be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide all the nations on earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has brought forth its increase. God, our own God, has blessed us.
May God give us blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Revelation. And in the Spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, but the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Usually it's Tuesday morning when Katrina gives me the bulletin, and I look it over and maybe make a few changes and give it back to her later on in that day so that she can get it ready for printing on Thursday or Friday. Well, this week that bulletin went back and forth. That first draft kept going back and forth between my desk and Katrina's desk for a few times. And the problem was I didn't like the graphic that she had chosen for the front cover. Usually we use the woodcut kind of graphic that comes with the program that we use, the Sundays and Seasons that we use to produce the bulletins. Well, this Sunday, the graphic to me looked like a parrot coming down, landing on some pirate's shoulder or something, or raptor or some odd thing. I'm not really pleased with the one that we have, but I think it's better than the one that Katrina picked out. So, but the bottom line is, I think it's just difficult to draw this gospel, to draw a picture of Jesus giving the Spirit the peace, God's gift being given to us. How do you draw that? And the artists had difficulty with this scripture. If it were something simple, the gift that Jesus would give, if he had been talking about something simple like bread or wine, you know, it'd be easy to draw that. But how do you draw the gift of peace? God's peace, we just can't draw. It's a gift that goes way beyond anything that we can ask or imagine. It's beyond anything that we can desire. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we can desire quite a lot. Our society tells us, desire more. More stuff is better. You deserve the finest of everything. Don't settle for second best. We do desire a lot. And since we already desire all that the world can give, it's difficult for us to imagine desiring something beyond what the world can give, beyond anything that we can ask or desire. And yet, here it is. God's gift to us in Jesus Christ, God's gift of peace, given for us, the peace that is not what the world desires, not like the peace of this world at all. You know, the world's peace is the absence of conflict. And isn't that an improbable situation in our world. But God's peace is found in the midst of conflict. God's peace is found in the midst of change, in the midst of persecution even. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Let your heart be in the heart of Christ. And that's where you'll find the peace. This is not a fragile peace that is only the absence of conflict, the kind of peace that we try to maintain with our weapons and our might, the kind of peace that's breakable. But this is an unbreakable peace, the kind of peace that gives us courage, even in the midst of our difficulties, courage even in the worries of our life. And just so that we don't forget, and so that our hearts won't be troubled, Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit to teach us, to remind us, and to keep reminding us that we have received this gift of peace. What good news that is, that we have this gift of peace, that we are not left alone. The Holy Spirit will teach us and remind us of this vision of peace, this shalom that is for all of us, for all people. And even when we feel far from peaceful, we know in this promise that the Holy Spirit is still with us, reminding us that we have received this gift of God's shalom. That vision of God's peace runs all through the Bible, all the way to the end of the Bible, to the reading that we heard this morning from the book of Revelation. There will be a new Jerusalem with the doors wide open, with the gates that never close any time, never close to anyone, encouraging, inviting us to have that vision of opening our doors to all peoples, to all nations, not drawing any lines, no boundaries between who should get in and who should be left out. This holy city with the river that runs through it, a river of life as bright as crystal, there the throne of God and the Lamb. And beside that river is a tree. And this tree with all kinds of fruit, and the leaves of that tree are for healing, for the healing of the nations. Imagine that. All healed. No HMOs, no insurance papers to file, no co-pays, no meeting deductibles, no troop deployment, no threats written on the bathroom walls, no fear of sending our children to school, no injustice in the workplace, no unfair labor practices, a new kind of healing. A new kind of reconciliation, a new kind of peace. This is God's shalom. This is the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about. And Jesus invites us to share in this shalom. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. In giving this gift, Jesus invites us to be splashed in the waters of that river, to be healed by the leaves of that tree. Did you come here this morning to be splashed with the waters of that healing? To find that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that offers more than you can ask or imagine. Lydia, indeed, was looking for that kind of peace, looking to be splashed with the waters of the river of life. You know about Lydia. I was talking to the children about Lydia. She was a dealer of purple cloth, and she's the one that Paul met at the River of Philippi. The first European convert, the first Gentile to prevail upon Paul and his band of friends to enter her house. Paul entering a Gentile home, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. When I read about Lydia, I was reminded of a poem entitled Warning by Jenny Joseph. Maybe you know this poem. When I'm an old woman, I shall wear purple with a red hat that doesn't go and it doesn't suit me. And I shall spend my pension on brandy and summer gloves and satin sandals and say, we have no money for butter. I shall sit down on the pavement when I'm tired and gobble up samples in the shops and press alarm bells and run my stick along the public railings and make up for the sobriety of my youth. I shall go out in my slippers in the rain and pick flowers from other people's gardens and learn to spit. You can wear terrible shirts and grow more fat and eat 3 pounds of sausages at a go, or only bread and pickle for a week, and hoard pens and pencils and beer mats and things in boxes. But now, we must have clothes that keep us dry, and pay our rent, and not swear in the street, and set a good example for our children. And we must have friends to dinner and read the papers. But maybe I ought to practice a little now, so people who know me are not too shocked and surprised when suddenly I am old and start to wear purple. Isn't that a great poem? I think it's a poem, I was reminded of this poem when I thought of Lydia, a person who was breaking with convention. I think this poem is about claiming who you are, about the rights or the responsibilities aside and the rights, no longer caring about what the neighbors think and earning that certain freedom that comes with maturity. And I think Lydia was like this. She must have shocked and surprised many people when she stepped into that river to be baptized, when she opened her Gentile home to that group of itinerant Jewish preachers. All those distinctions about clean and unclean, about acceptable and unacceptable, about proper and improper, have passed away. Healing has taken place down by that river. God is doing a new thing in this woman who wears purple, through this disciple, Lydia. And God will do new things and will continue to do new things, even today. It's possible that you and I will be changed as well. We can lay aside our assumptions, our preconditions, our prejudices, all those ideas that hold us bound. We can step across those boundaries and let God be known upon the earth, God saving health for all the nations. There's a story about a woman, a mother, who's reading a serious book. And her little boy kept interrupting her, tapping against her knee. Mommy, I love you. Yes, son, I love you too. Now go play. As she's trying to continue reading her book, But that doesn't satisfy the little boy, and finally he ran up to his mother. Mommy, I love you. And then he jumped up on her lap, threw his arms around her neck, and gave her a big hug and said, and I just had to do something about it. The truth is, as we grow in God's love, we aren't content either with the small talk or the dismissal, the pat on the head love. We are in love in a way that needs to do something about it. That's the good news. The good news that God's peace has been given to us in a way that God's peace given to us, we are so enthused with God's love and grace that it spills out, that we can't hold it in, that all the nations will hear of God's love in the way that we live each day. And this good news makes all the difference in the world. The good news is that God's peace is for us. God's peace is in us. God's peace is us. Amen.